Thanks, Gower, for reading for us. Happy New Year to everyone as well. I am going to be speaking from those passages in 1 John. Recently, I have been getting fake messages about my eToll account. I feel like they come in waves. Before that, it was about parcel deliveries that haven't eventuated, and then it was kind of fake bank messages before that. And that kind of relates to our topic from 1 John today. We are going to look at spotting a fake in 1 John, about how to spot false teachers in Christianity. I'm going to pray for us before we start, so please join with me as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you are the true God and eternal life. And Lord, as Jesus prayed for his disciples, we also pray for the church today. Lord, we pray that you may sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Please give us discernment to know the truth from error. And please give us confidence that we know the truth because we know your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we all know how to spot a fake. We all know how to spot imitations. We can spot a fake SMS by the unknown number and the very vague link and the poor grammar. We can spot fake news and conspiracy theories as well. I read one this week about a group of people who believe that Australia does not exist. Australians on TV are just actors paid by NASA. And that tourists who fly to Australia are actually brought to South America and told that it is Australia. We know that that is fake for obvious reasons. And we know imitation of brand clothing when we see it too. We all know how to spot a fake. But can you spot a fake Christian teacher? Do you know the difference between a legitimate Christian church and a dangerous cult? It's very important to know the distinction. If you get scammed by something in the world, all that you stand to lose is maybe a little bit of money, maybe your personal information. If you get scammed by a fake Christian teacher, though, you stand to lose your soul. And this is not something that we can be too arrogant about either. When they do profiles of people who fall into false teaching, people who fall into cults, these are not people who are especially gullible. And it's not because they are uneducated. They are normal people from all walks of life. They are people like you and me. For some reason, people are manipulated and led astray. They are brainwashed. I believe the expression is that they get cooked or baked. But that is what happens to other people. That is also what can happen to us. So how do we make sure that we don't fall for the same thing? How can we spot a fake? Well, that is actually one of the big themes of 1 John. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits." Now, John is saying here that we shouldn't just blindly trust everyone who speaks about God and Jesus. We need to exercise discernment when people speak about God. And that is what we're going to do as we look into the Word of God today. I said before that 1 John has a very circular structure. John will take a topic and then he'll go off that topic and then he'll go back to that topic. He does that with this topic in chapters 2 and 4 as well, this topic of antichrists. This is a word that doesn't appear a lot in the Bible. What actually is an antichrist? What do people think is an antichrist? Some people think, when they think of the Antichrist, they think of the devil, maybe with the red skin and horns and the tail and the pitchfork. Some Christians, when they think of the Antichrist, they think of maybe some sort of evil world emperor in the future. Some people today might think that the Antichrist is a specific person. And so there was an ABC article that had the title, "Should We Call Donald Trump the Antichrist?" But in the Bible, what Antichrists are really are people who stand instead of Christ. The word anti means the word instead of. And so antichrists are instead of Christs. They're people who set themselves up as substitute Jesuses. There's a painting called The Works of the Antichrist, which I think is really, really profound. I really, really like it. So you can see how there's a guy who is speaking. He kind of looks like Jesus, but he's not Jesus. He's a bit kind of vacant-eyed in his expression. You've got this kind of evil spirit which is next to him, and he's kind of playing him like a puppet. This is kind of the thing that an antichrist is. Someone who is pretending to be Jesus in some way, and leading people astray. Because if you zoom out from this particular part of the painting, you'll see there's all sorts of chaos that is caused by the teaching of the Antichrist as well. People might do this overtly. And so there are some people who might out and out say, look, I am Jesus returned from the earth in the body of a South Korean man, as in the cult Shin Jeonji. People might say, I have the soul or the authority of Jesus within me. Or people might do it subtly. They might say that they have rights and privileges that only belong to Jesus. So they might say, for example, I have come with the only true interpretation of the Bible, and anyone who doesn't agree with me is wrong. They might claim to have full authority like Jesus, like the Watchtower with the Jehovah's Witnesses. You see what they're doing? They're basically putting themselves in the place of Jesus. They're saying, don't worship Jesus, worship me. Don't follow Jesus, follow me. Don't trust Jesus, trust me. And they attract a lot of followers, especially, I think, among people who are looking maybe a little bit too much for absolute certainty, or maybe people who are just looking to be smug in front of other religious people. Antichrists are instead of Christs. And the first thing that 1 John says about antichrists is that false teachers and antichrists are out there, and that they are normal. And you see this in chapter 2, verse 18, where it says, children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. And chapter 4, verse 1 says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. It says here that it is the last hour. Those are the times that we are in. We are in the time between Jesus' resurrection and his return. We are waiting for Jesus. And John is saying that it just goes with the times that we are in, that antichrists are going to come. There will be pretenders. There will be rivals who will try and cash in on Jesus' business. You might remember when the Twilight novels came out and got really popular. You might have seen in the bookshops or on Amazon that after Twilight, there was a whole host of young adult supernatural-themed romance stories. There were other stories about vampires, other stories about werewolves, but it was a romance, that kind of thing. The same with Harry Potter. Suddenly after Harry Potter, there were all these books about magic schools. When the Marvel movies became popular, everyone else was trying to do their own cinematic universe suddenly. You know, it's similar with Jesus. Jesus comes along, he does the amazing, world-changing things that he does, and then suddenly he spawns a whole bunch of pale imitations. And that's why it says in chapter 4, verse 1, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. We cannot be naive. We cannot just believe everyone who claims that they are Christians at the back of our heads. There always has to be a little bit of, what if these guys are wrong? Because we are in the times when antichrists are normal and expected. The second thing that John says about antichrists is that they do not belong to God's people. And you see that in chapter 2, verse 19, when he says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they all are not of us. Antichrists are separate from the true Christian church. They are not our brothers and sisters in Christ. In the words of Jesus, these are wolves in sheep's clothing. These are the kind of people who will be judged by Jesus at the last day, and Jesus will tell them, I never knew you. And this is important to grasp, that antichrists are not God's people, because one of the ways that false teachers and cults will try and get us is by pretending to be the same as us. You know, they want to give us that false sense of security, and they will say things like, we believe the same things you do, or, oh great, we love Jesus as well. You know, it's great to meet someone who likes studying the Bible. Do you want to study the Bible with us? You know, it sounds innocent when they say that, but not everyone who says that is genuine. Another thing that they will do that kind of shows that they don't belong to God's people is that they will tell you to leave your church and join them. They'll say stuff like, you can't be influenced by anyone, even your own church. You have to make up your own mind. Or they might say, if you ask your church about us, they'll just say we're wrong because they don't have the full story. You know, it's kind of ironic, these things that they say. They're basically saying, don't let your church brainwash you. Let us brainwash you. You know, they're trying to create that separation because they know that they do not belong with us. Antichrists do not belong to God's people. The third thing that John says about Antichrist is that they are liars. Chapter 2, verse 22. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. Verse 26, he writes, I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. Okay, it's not like false teachers can just say, oh, you know, sorry, I didn't know what I was doing at the time. You know, I plead ignorance. I wasn't aware. It was an honest mistake. Verse 22 says they are liars. Verse 26 says they are trying to deceive you. There is malicious intent there. They are trying to use you for your own purposes. And sure, when you look at kind of the whole sweep of a false teacher and all their followers, or when you think about the whole hierarchy of a cult, you've got to say that at least some of the people there are victims, some of them are manipulated, they've been duped. But at some level, there is deliberate deceit going on. Right? John says that antichrists are normal and expected, they are not part of God's people, and that they are liars. So that's what antichrists are like. Next question, though, is how do you spot them? Or what are the telltale signs of the antichrist? Or what does it mean to test the spirits? Well, if you look at 1 John, the ultimate test of an antichrist is what they teach. It is a doctrinal test. The rest of the Bible has other tests, though, for false teachers. You might see Jesus say in Matthew chapter 7, he says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Paul writes in Titus as well, they profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. See, both of those verses are testing the moral character of the teacher. False teachers are not above reproach. If you look at their lives, you will see things like greed or lust or dishonesty or bullying or abuse. And even worse, when people try and correct them on this, when they try and bring them up on this, they will say that they have done nothing wrong. Right? False teachers fail the character test. But for John, when he writes, he says that there's another important test to make, and that is the test of their teaching, their doctrine, their theology as well. As Australians, we tend to be a bit of a very pragmatic people. Doctrine tends to bore us. We see it as usually too theoretical. We might say, look, why you spend so much time arguing about what is true and what is not true? Isn't it easier and more peaceful to say that you have your truth and I have my truth, and your truth is true for you and mine is true for me? You know, it's kind of like ice cream. If you think chocolate ice cream is the best and I think strawberry ice cream is the best, you know, can't they both be true? Isn't it the same with doctrine? You know, you've got God, I've got Jesus, someone else has got Mary, someone else has got Muhammad. Can't we all be true? Aren't they all different flavors of ice cream? Well, one of my old ministers taught me, though, that there is ice cream truth and there is gravity truth. Some things are just a matter of preference. It's ice cream. It doesn't really make a difference what you think. But some things are like gravity. They are always true, whether you like it or not. And it is terribly dangerous to ignore the facts. Jesus is gravity truth. And for the sake of your soul, you need to get him right. I'm sneaking in a bit more G.K. Chesterton when he talks about doctrine. He writes, it was only a matter of an inch, but an inch is everything when you are balancing. Doctrine is important. And John shows us that the test of any doctrine or any teaching is whether it is apostolic or not, whether it comes from the apostles. Chapter 4, verses 5 and 6 shows this. It says, they are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The we there is the apostles. That is the original 12 followers of Jesus, minus Judas, plus Matthias, plus Paul. Right? These apostles had a unique promise from Jesus. They had a unique gift of the Holy Spirit, that their teaching would be spirit-empowered and reliable. Jesus said to the apostles in John 14:26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. This is a promise that was uniquely for the apostles. The reason we trust the New Testament when it's been written is that all the books of the New Testament were written either by an apostle or in cooperation with an apostle. And that's what we say in the Nicene Creed. I believe in the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. The word Catholic there means universal church, but the main thing there is it's an apostolic church. It's founded on apostolic teaching. And the antichrists of John's time, they were deviating from that teaching. And we see how they deviated from their teaching in their specific circumstance in chapters 2 and 4 as well, because it says, who is the liar that but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Chapter 4 says, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. The apostles clearly taught Jesus was the Christ. He was the Messiah. He was God's chosen king. People should respect him, submit to him and follow him. They also taught that Jesus came in the flesh. Jesus was fully God and fully man. This is the teaching that we know as the incarnation. You see here the false teachers of John's time, they were denying those things. It's hard to say what they were teaching instead. People disagree a lot on this. It was possibly maybe a Jewish teaching, so the idea that Jesus was not the Christ, he was just an ordinary man. Or maybe it was some sort of spiritual thing, like Jesus was not man and he was not God, he was some sort of demigod figure, he's kind of something in between. But whatever it was not what the apostles clearly taught. And so apostolicity, whether it comes from the apostles, is our test. And over the almost 2,000 years since Jesus, many teachings have come and gone because they have failed that test. Now, we have had people say in church history, Jesus is not fully God. We've had people say Jesus is not fully man, or that we are saved by our good deeds, or that the Bible is not the word of God. You might have heard some of these false teachings described as either gospel plus or gospel minus. So people are either adding to God's word stuff that shouldn't be there, or they're subtracting from God's word things that should be there. Right? But all those things have been shown to be wrong. And what has survived is the teaching of the apostles, which is what we are committed to and what we are teaching here. And so you can spot an antichrist by what they do and by what they teach. And their teaching deviates from what the apostles originally taught. So antichrists are out there. We know how to spot one. What do you do when you come across this kind of false teaching? Well, the first thing that John says is he says, don't despair. We might get a bit scared when we hear about false teachers or antichrists. We might be a bit afraid, might think to ourselves, what if I get taken along myself? Or what if I get manipulated? What if I become one of those statistics? What if something funny happens to my brain? You know, can lead a bit to a lot of anxiety with Christians. But John, when he writes, he doesn't write to make his people feel paranoid about this kind of stuff. You know, it's not like those smoking ads where they show the horrible teeth and the black lungs and the guy in the breathing tube. You know, it's designed to scare you and to shock you. You know, the overwhelming theme of John when he writes about false teachers is confidence. And you can see this in verses 20 to 21 of chapter 2 when he says, but you have been anointed by the Holy One and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. 26 to 27, he also says, I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you, but the anointing that you received from him, that's Jesus, abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, just as it taught you, abide in him. And in chapter 4, verse 4, he says, little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Many false teachers, many cults will have as their message, you do not know the truth and you need us. You need to depend on us to get you to know the truth. This causes people to doubt. It keeps people dependent on them. People will set themselves up as the only authorized interpreters of Scripture, and that means that everyone needs to depend on them, and everyone who disagrees with them is just wrong. But notice what John says. Chapter 2, verse 20, you all have knowledge. Verse 21, I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it. Chapter 2, verse 27, you have no need that anyone should teach you. Chapter 4, verse 4, you are from God and have overcome them. Christians already have all the knowledge they need. They have it in the teachings of the apostles, and they have it in the Holy Spirit to help them to understand the teachings of the apostles. This is the doctrine that we know as the clarity of Scripture. This is the idea that with sufficient study, any human being can understand Scripture. You know, you don't need anyone except the Holy Spirit to help you. This is also called the perspicuity of Scripture for some reason. Why they don't just call it clarity is beyond me. Yeah, clarity is shorter and clearer. It's basically the idea, though, that you, the Holy Spirit, and a Bible are all you need to know God. Other Christians can help, right? Church can help. They can help to accelerate that process. But you are not lost without them. You know, you actually can do it. You can know God. You can know the truth. And so John here is saying, look, don't despair when you hear about false teachers. You have the Bible. You have the Holy Spirit. You have a brain. You know, you have everything that you need. And the second thing that we are to do about Antichrist as well is to remain in the truth. And we see this in chapter 2, verses 24 to 27. John writes, let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made us, eternal life. There is an old hymn that goes, tell me the old, old story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. Now, the good news of Jesus is an old, old story that we are to keep telling ourselves. Retro is always in fashion in Christianity. Christian teaching is not like the latest phone that comes out every year and there are new features and the phone is objectively better than the old one. Christian teaching does not do that. Almost you could say that the test of good Christian teaching is not whether it's new, but because whether it's old. That's what 1 John is saying when he says, let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. You know, you keep to that original gospel, that original truth that was handed down by the apostles. You just keep believing that through all the changes and ups and downs of life. And that is most of your Christian life, really. A lot of false teaching is new things. They will say every single Christian up until then has been wrong. Billions of Christians, hundreds of Christian movements, they have all been wrong, but we have finally cracked it in 2023. That is what they will say. They can have that if they want. As for me, I'm going to stick with what I see plainly in the Bible, and it's not too hard for you to do it too. You keep on believing that, and God's promise is that you will abide in the Son and in the Father. Now keep believing that. You stay in good relationship with Jesus and with God, and finally, you will inherit eternal life. So just remain in the truth. We are in the last days, the Bible says. Jesus has come, he has risen from the dead, and we are waiting for his return. And a normal part of the times that we are in are that people are going to come in and try and cash in and scam people and take advantage of their faith. That is not a surprise. It is to be expected. But we as God's people do not need to worry. We have everything we need to spot them. And everything that we need to fight them. We have the Holy Spirit who is in us. We have the clear and trustworthy Word of God. We have the real deal. And so we do not need to fall for the fake. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that we may take your word seriously when it warns us against false teachers. Please help us not to believe every spirit, but to test the spirits. Please help us to test what people say against the teaching of the apostles. And Lord, we pray that therefore we may discern truth and error. Please help us not to despair. Please help us to have confidence that we have your Holy Spirit within us through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. Please help us to be confident in the clarity of your word. Please help us, therefore, to abide in that truth, to keep on going in it. And Lord, we pray that that may bring us to your eternal kingdom. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.